For our scripture reading this morning, if you would turn to me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Very well-known passage about the birth of our Savior. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that in all the world, that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the host, with an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. May the Lord bless this reading of His holy word. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this passage, just describing the birth of our Lord and Savior. We thank you for all of the passages that foretold of His coming, that prophesied of His coming. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to bear our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Jeff. Well, this morning, through this event that Jeff just read to us, we're going to see some lowly shepherds exemplify the precise and proper response that one should have to the coming of God to earth. Okay? That is what Christmas celebrates. It celebrates God coming to earth. And there is a proper way to respond to that kind of information. Now, I'm going to ask you to really open your imagination just for a minute, to receive something that is completely and utterly fiction. All right, but just open your mind for a minute. But hopefully this will help us to understand the feeling of our passage. I want you to imagine an archaeological dig on the island of Patmos, off the coast of Asia Minor. It is the island from which the Apostle Paul penned the words, the book of Revelation in our Bible, in which the Lord addressed and prophesied about a number of churches in that area. And here is where your imagination is greatly needed, all right? At this archaeological dig, an ancient document was found, and it made the news, it made the headlines, and it read this. It said this, "To the angel of the Bible Church at Mesquite in the River Valley of the Virgin, these things says the Son of God. I know your works. I know your strengths, and I know your deepest failures. Your heart is an open book to me, and I know exactly what you need. Therefore, in the conclusion of the 2012th year of the Lord, I will visit you. I will appear in your midst, and I will examine your hearts. And behold, I give you a sign. On the Isle of Patmos, in the soil of the earth, is a document that you may testify to the glory of God. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, you and I both know that this is complete and utter fiction, and I'm not trying to add to God's word here, okay? But imagine for a minute the way you might react if you read this in the news and they had that letter printed, and all of a sudden, here we are. And you realize, is this for real? I know my first and immediate response would be fear, okay? According to this, God is going to come here to River Valley Bible Church by the end of the year. And he's coming to examine my heart and yours. I hope that what would follow would be to investigate this information. Is this for real? Is this really going to happen? And if indeed it was, I would hope that the next thing to happen would we would begin to testify of God like we have never testified before. I would imagine that an event like this would even demand another holiday, a day set aside in the year in which believers could celebrate for many, many years to come. Well, from our passage this morning, we find a true event just like this. God came to Bethlehem of Judea. In fact, hundreds of years earlier, he named Bethlehem and said, I'm coming there. I'm coming there. And as a result, we now celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas. But even more importantly for humanity, the shepherds who encountered him at his first coming exemplify the precise and proper response to God's coming so that we might follow suit, so that we would respond in the same way to this same news. Our subject this morning is When God Came, from Luke chapter 2, and we're actually going to be looking at only verses 8 through 20, but I had Jeff read the whole passage because it is the Christmas story. But from verses 8 through 20, and the first response that we find is this: the announcement brought apprehension. The announcement brought apprehension. While the word apprehension is not in our passage, its definition is. My above fictitious tale illustrates apprehension. Upon hearing the news of the coming of God's Son, it brought fear, I would hope. It stopped us in our tracks. It gripped our attention. It caused us to take action toward understanding. That's apprehension. Now, the word apprehension actually has several varying meanings, and really we find them all in our passage. First of all, apprehension means to fear. It means to fear. Look at verses 8 and 9. Chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says this: Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Here we find that in the same part of the country in which Joseph and Mary had come because of this census, somewhere near Bethlehem, which is the city of David, near where Jesus was born, were these shepherds out in the field by night, keeping watch over their flocks. Now, it was not uncommon during this day and age that several shepherds would actually gather together at night, and they would have a common pen and put several herds into one pen, and then the shepherds would basically sleep in the gate, protecting their sheep from potential thieves. Well, this is probably the scenario that this angel visited. And as this angel suddenly appeared, and his heavenly glory completely consumed the night with light, these shepherds were greatly afraid. I would be. If all of a sudden it was daylight in the middle of night, that would scare me. It would be enough that it turned daylight in the middle of night. It would be enough that a being appeared before me in the midst of that light. But perhaps the scariest thing of all was being a weak, sinful mortal in the presence of perfect holiness and power. Anytime one sincerely compares his own sinful condition to the perfection and holiness of God, that should scare us. That should frighten us. And that is where we find these shepherds. Apprehension means to fear. Apprehension means to arrest. Apprehension means to arrest. Look at verses 10 and 11. He says, "Then the angel of the Lord said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" What was it that caused these shepherds to just not bolt? You know, I mean, that's what I do when I get afraid, okay? I run. What was it that caused them to just not run away? Well, I think the words of this angel arrested them. It stopped them in their tracks. He said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. The Savior has come." Who is the Savior? Well, according to our verse, Christ the Lord. He is the appointed and anointed one predicted by God over and over again for thousands of years before this event. In fact, 800 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." What is the Savior for? Well, Isaiah again wrote that he would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace would be upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. In Matthew's account, as the angel appeared to Mary earlier, he said, "And she will bring forth a son, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Who is the Savior for? Well, this is probably what arrested these shepherds more than anything else. Verse 10 says that this is for all people. Verse 11 says, "There is born to you a Savior." Many have wondered why God would send an angel with this all-important message to shepherds. The very bottom of the social scale. Why not to the high priest at the temple? Why not to the king? Okay? Why not to an eloquent and wise philosopher? It's because this message is for all people, even lowly shepherds. And this arrested them. It stopped them in their tracks. They learned this is even for us. Apprehension means to fear. Apprehension means to arrest. Apprehension means to grasp. Look at verses 12 through 14. It says, "And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger." And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." What did this angel want these shepherds to grasp? What would be implied as this angel tells them that there is a sign to look for? And here's what to look for. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. What would the angel be implying by telling them this? He's implying that you should go find him. Go see him. Look for him. And here's how you'll know when you've found him. You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." This grand announcement ushered in a multitude of heavenly hosts then who praise God for his glory and the peace and goodwill that he was offering mankind through salvation. How do we know that these shepherds grasped that message? Well, the second response we find is the announcement brought apprehension, but the information brought investigation. The information brought investigation. They went to find the Christ. Verses 15 and 16. "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger." Janine and I have talked quite a bit about our next trip to go see my son and his wife, Andrew and Rachel, who are in Indiana. And we have no idea when that will be. However, we do know one thing that will perhaps be the greatest motivating factor in our going to see them. And that will be the announcement of a baby. We have not got that announcement yet. It is a really, really daunting thing. I mean, do I look like a grandpa? No. It's just a little bit of gray right there, and that's it. But we are fairly certain that when that day comes, when our first grandbaby is due to arrive, we want to be there. In fact, good news like this deserves and demands to be a priority. And there is nothing greater than the coming of God to earth. That information deserves and demands urgent investigation. It deserves and demands to be checked out thoroughly, and that is what we find these shepherds doing. The information brought investigation. What kind of investigation was it? Well, their investigation was undaunted. Meaning, while they may have still feared, while they may have still been quaking in their boots from what they had just seen and heard, they moved forward with boldness. They didn't care what anybody else might think. Okay? They desired the truth of this matter. After the angels departed, they looked at one another and at the same time said, "Let's go. Well, let's check this thing out. This is for us. Let's go see this thing that the Lord has made known." Their investigation was undaunted. Their investigation was urgent. Verse 15 says, "Let us go now." Let's go straight away to Bethlehem. And verse 16 says this, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Their investigation was undaunted, it was urgent, and it was undeniable. Just as the angel had told them, somewhere in Bethlehem, they found the babe, the Christ, the Savior of the world, God in human flesh, wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. Hundreds of years earlier, the prophet Micah said, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. The high priest of the Jewish temple had that information. The king at the time in Israel had that information. It was right there in their scriptures. But the angels went to shepherds. This announcement brought apprehension. The information brought investigation. The third and final response is the proof brought proclamation. The proof brought proclamation. Upon hearing and seeing this good news, these shepherds spread the word. They wanted everyone to know the things that they had seen and heard. It was good news of great joy. It was news about freedom from sin. Have you heard the phrase, the shot heard around the world? Okay. It actually refers to perhaps the fastest spreading news in history. It's a reference actually from a poem by Ralph Waldo Emerson, but it speaks of the first shot fired in the American Revolutionary War against the British Empire. Why would the world be affected? Why would this be a shot that was heard around the world? Why would they be affected by this one event? Well, in 1775, the British Empire had dominion over at least a portion of every single continent on the planet. They ruled with tyranny. They dominated. They exploited many nations and many peoples. And the settlers of the colonies here in America were the first and most effective opponent to rebel. And it was good news for the entire world. Finally, someone is stepping up. Someone is doing something about this tyranny that we've been living under. And it was a message that went around the world at a very, very rapid pace. It pictures the fastest spreading news in history. That's what we're supposed to do with good news. Is spread it around. Proclaim it. What did these shepherds proclaim? Well, they proclaimed Jesus' purpose. Verse 17, it says, "Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." No doubt that as these shepherds showed up, there with Joseph and Mary and around this message, they proclaimed to them what had happened to them and why they were now, this is why we're here. This is why we're here. But upon finding exactly what they were told to look for, they proclaimed what they were told concerning this child. It was good news of great joy. He is the long-awaited Savior for sin that God had promised. He is the Christ, the Messiah. He is Lord God, and he's right here in Bethlehem, in a stable, and the sign is for you. You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. No doubt, this is what they proclaimed. These were the very first evangelists after the birth of Christ. They proclaimed and offered the exact same message that the angel had given to them. Verse 18, And all those who heard it marveled at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Now here we find that many marveled, or many wondered. All who heard it were amazed with this message. But you know one thing it doesn't say? It doesn't say any of them went. We don't know. It doesn't say that they were apprehended by the announcement, or even investigated the information. And that's the job sometimes of the evangelist. The great thing is, our commission as we share the good news of Jesus Christ is not to force people to accept the message. Our job is to deliver it. To deliver it. They were amazed with the account, but it appears that that's where it ended. Many wondered. Many marveled. I pray that that is not you. That you would investigate the truth of this matter. Many marveled, but Mary pondered. Verse 19. It says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I can only imagine the thoughts that were running through Mary's head through all of this. She was visited by an angel earlier who told her the same kinds of things. And she asked, why me? Why a lowly maidservant? Why would you favor me with this kind of blessing to bring forth the Messiah? Mary pondered this thing. Mark Lowry wrote a song that imagines Mary's pondering. In fact, Jeff did it as a special at our night of music. But let me read to you just some of the lyrics from that song. He says, Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Did you know that your baby boy will save your sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you have kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. I believe that these shepherds were beginning to understand this. They proclaimed Jesus' purpose. They proclaimed also God's praise. Verse 20. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They praise God for the good news of great joy. They praise God for sending a Savior. They praise God for sending Christ the Lord. They praise God for the opportunity to meet Him. They praise God for salvation from sin. They did really exactly what the angels did after the angels delivered the message. They praised God. I recently found a photo on the internet, and it was labeled the most ignored message ever printed. Okay, the most ignored message ever printed. Go ahead and put that up and zoom in a little bit. Zoom's right there. More. Right there. Okay. The most ignored message ever printed. While this is a good one, okay, it is not the most ignored message ever printed. This is. You can go ahead and get rid of that. This is right here. And it took some lowly shepherds to show us the proper way to respond to God's coming to earth. Don't ignore this message. Investigate it. God has come, and simply hearing this should strike apprehension into our hearts. Investigate this information. If hearing this does not cause us to move, something is wrong with us. Something is wrong with us. Investigate the information. It's been asked, why should we prepare to meet our Maker? And the answer to that question is because we must one day meet our Maker. We must one day meet our Maker. You see, only twice in the entire Bible are angels given the opportunity to share the gospel. One is here, right here in Luke, okay, as Christ came as Savior. The other is in the book of Revelation as Christ will come to judge the wicked. And by the way, I knew that the world would not end the day before yesterday, because this book says, God says, that only He knows the day, and it will come as a thief in the night. I, for one, am glad for Christmas, because it gives us, we who believe, another opportunity to proclaim Christ as Savior before He comes as judge. And until that time, proclaim the good news. In John 20:29, Jesus said to His disciple Thomas, He says, because you have seen Me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen yet believed. Investigate the information. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, we are just deeply humbled that You would choose us to proclaim this all-important message in the world. And Lord, we are amazed that You would do what You have done for us. That You would come down in taking the form of a man, the form of a bondservant, coming in our likeness to live that perfect sinless life that we were incapable of living, so that You could take the punishment for sin that we deserve. And Lord, we do thank You for that gift. And I pray that, Lord, if there are some here that have in the past looked at this message, heard this message, and discarded this message, that it would apprehend them this morning. That they would think about this in the context of reality and investigate it, Lord. Thank You again for just this upcoming day of celebration that we can have concerning this great gift. And Lord, I just pray that You might put the proclaiming of it foremost in our mind, in particular as we are with friends and family that have not yet investigated it. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.